folks, we are back. Welcome to another week here at Dan's Dabble in Babble. I've been across the pond and back, and I am so excited to be delivering another exceptional episode, which is the only thing we know how to do here at Dan's Dabble in Babble. Thank you so much for your patience with me as I took May 8th off. I was having such a long day of travel. And, you know, travel is one of those things that it can be a hellscape or it can be quite pleasant. And, you know, the way back, it went remarkably smoothly, I have to say. So our trip ended in Prague. We left Prague. Our first flight was at 6:30 in the morning in Prague, which is around 12:30 a.m. Eastern time. So we had a flight from Prague to Paris, had a 2 or 3 hour layover in Paris, boarded a flight from Paris to Dallas, and then from Dallas to Tampa. So all in all, it was about 20 hours of travel by the time I got home. But, you know, the flights honestly were not that bad. I think I was just kind of in that zone, you know, to be ready for travel. And that's how the cookie crumbled that day, thankfully. You know, I have to say though, there are so many problems that can happen with travel, and I fully own up to the fact that when I am at the mercy of the airlines, which we will get to that more so in a minute, but when I am at the mercy of the airlines, oh boy, it's difficult. I really enjoy travel. I don't mind flying, but the uncertainty of, I feel like I've had really bad luck with flights and delays and cancellations. And so I get really anxious about not having that control over when I leave, you know? And, That's one aspect that's unavoidable when traveling, but it almost feels like at times airlines now go out of their way to make travel as miserable as possible. So our flights home were booked at the same time, and my boyfriend and I were clearly traveling together. I booked the flight from Prague to Paris, and that was through a different airline that made it easier. But American Airlines does not automatically nor take any effort to seat you with people that you're traveling with. And it's one thing if you are traveling on a domestic flight that's just a few hours, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. But at the end of a trip, like the trip that we had, and it was like a 9 hour, 9.5 hour flight from Paris to Dallas, sit me with my travel companion. I mean, that is just basic human decency, and I don't understand why that would be an issue at all. And it wasn't even like we were willing to pay a little bit of money to select our seats next to each other, but the seats that we could select, it didn't give us an option to pick seats next to each other. So we're at the Paris airport, and I walk up, and because I'm like to my boyfriend, I say, we are sitting together. And he was very much on the same page. Like, he was the one that said, you know, I'm willing to pay something to be next to each other. And it just, I don't understand why this would even be an interaction that we would have to have. But I go up to the gate agent, and, you know, she says, "Bonjour, monsieur." And I say, you know, my boyfriend and I I use the term partner. I said, my partner and I are traveling together, but we're not seated next to each other. So I'm hoping that there's some way that you can get us close together. And so to get back into the U.S., you have to have a negative COVID test. So she was like, I need the boarding passes. I need the proof of the negative COVID test. So we get all of that. And she says, I don't have two seats that are together, but I have two seats in the same row, an aisle and a window. So you'll just have to trade with the middle person. Fine. Well, when we're on the plane, the person that had the middle seat, of course, was happy to trade to get a window seat. But she was in the row in front of her husband. So it's like, we could have, like, why are you splitting all of these people up? That just seems like an unnecessary layer of this whole thing that I really don't jive with. And it really just seems cruel for the sake of cruel. And I can't shake that. And I am frustrated by that. That's just the reality of the situation, is that really frustrates me. I don't understand the point. So I don't know how to reconcile my displeasure with that. It was incredibly frustrating, but ultimately we were seated next to each other. But then the other thing is, our flights were booked at the same time, using my boyfriend's frequent flyer number. So he was in a higher boarding group than I was. So in addition to all of this, they don't even let us board at the same time. I mean, seriously. Now, why do we accept this as a people? Let's just take a moment as a family. Why do we accept such unnecessary hassle when it comes to travel? It's not even like American Airlines is not a bargain airline. I can tell you, and looking at flights to freaking Indiana, that it is certainly not a bargain to fly American. So anyway, but it all worked out on the flight to Dallas, so fine. And the flight was a relatively easy flight, and you know, we got where we were going, which ultimately is what matters. Great, wonderful, love it. Okay, so let's because I wanna take you through my entire European trip, and this is gonna be several episodes, because this was, I want to say, now that I've started with a complaint, really how magical and incredible this entire week was. It was my first time to Europe, and really it exceeded my expectations. It was so lovely. Just the time that we had was a dream. It was beyond remarkable. Now, my boyfriend works a very busy job, and he's not taken a substantial vacation since he's had his job. So he was able to get off a day earlier than I was. So and he was meeting his father and brother over in Paris, which is our first leg of the trip. So great. Was happy that he was able to get that time off. He got over there a day before I did. I had to work the following day, and then I was leaving after work. And I was kind of watching, so I'm flying out of Tampa. So my schedule is to go from Tampa to Philly, Philly to Paris. And I'm watching the radar, and it's kind of going back and forth between the storms are basically going to roll in the time that my plane should take off. And then in Philly, the radar is totally clear. So like, if I can get to Philly, I'm convinced that I'm going to get on a plane to Paris. So long story short, I, you know, get to Tampa, have a glass of wine or two before I board. We board, and then it starts to rain, and then it starts to thunder. And the flight was delayed coming into Tampa. So we're boarding a little bit late because of some mechanical issue. And then in Tampa, they need to fuel up. And this is where we really get fucked, because it starts to storm, then the ramp for the fuelers to come it has to close. And apparently this is basically rush hour, the busy time at the airport. So there are lots of planes ahead of us that need to, or that are going to get fueled before us. So whatever, I have like a 3-hour layover in Philly, so it's fine. A little bit of a delay isn't going to sweat it. Well, it keeps on storming. They keep on having to close. Like, they'll open up the gates for fueling. Then they close the gates for fueling. And I am kind of like starting to panic because I'm like, it's not smooth and it's not going to take off. And there's nothing that I can do. And, you know, it's not like Philly is my final destination. Like, there's not a lot of flight options to get me to Paris and in a reasonable way. So I like kind of start to have a panic attack on the plane. The woman next to me like asks if I'm from Philly or like why I'm so stressed about getting to Philly. And I said, no, I'm meeting my partner in Paris. And anyway, it's a whole rigmarole just sitting on that flight and just knowing that it's not going to take off. And then the flight crew gets on, or the captain gets on the intercom and says that in about 20 minutes, federal regulations are going to time them out. They've had an early morning and they're not going to be able to fly due to federal regulations. And then right after that announcement, a flight attendant comes up to me and asks if I'm the guy that's going to Paris, to which I say yes. And I'm like hopeful for a moment. I'm like, maybe this guy has like some magic secret way to get me to Paris. But he says, I need to get on the phone with American Airlines because this flight is not going to take off and go to Philadelphia. So I get on the phone with American Airlines, and the long story short here is that they tell me that they have a flight that will get me to New York City, and that will get me into New York City around midnight. And then there's a flight to Paris at 5:45 p.m. the next day. So that, do some quick math, it's a day and a half, 2 days of my trip gone. Like basically the entire Paris leg. And we'll get to the reasons why I really wanted to be in Paris on time in a moment. We'll cover all that. So, okay. I'm like, this is not acceptable. They say, well, there's a flight that goes to London, but I would have to switch airports in London. But I'm like, okay. Let's try to get me on that plane. They're not able to get me on the plane to London. I run to the American Airlines desk, and the guy can tell that I'm desperate. And somehow, my hero miraculously gets me on a plane to Miami. And then there's a plane from Miami to Paris that gets me in just about 2 hours later than I was originally scheduled. It was an Air France flight instead of an American Airlines flight. So the food was really good. It was honestly, the only downside was Air France, you still have to wear a mask on the plane. So I had to wear a mask for the international flight. But I am just so grateful that it worked out because I was not, I was stressed. I was not in a good moment. And this is the part of travel that I really struggle with, is ceding that control. But somehow, miraculously, it worked out because the flight from Miami to Paris was 100% full. So I don't know how they got me on that plane. But then it's like kind of a tight layover, so I am having to run through the Miami airport. I have to go through security again. It was all just very stressful, but they got me there. So with that, we can go into break and hear from our sponsors. And you guys know that I got into Paris more or less on time.
Are you ready to launch your new career in coding? Treehouse has one of the best and most affordable online classrooms for you. At Treehouse, we've rethought the learning process and built a proven system to get you the skills and knowledge you need to achieve your goals. When you're done with a course, you haven't just watched a video, you learned, practiced, and absorbed a concept. Or choose to build a portfolio, create a network, and land your dream job with our bootcamp-style tech degree program. Land a dev job this year. Whatever your goal, we'll get you there. Get 50% off your first month as a podcast listener through our special discount link.
teamtreehouse.com/signup_code/podcorncourses. Alrighty, folks, we are back. So, anyway, I left off, I make it to Paris, and so, you know, this is my first time, as I said, to Europe. Getting through customs was like less than 10 minutes. It was very quick, very painless. I was so relieved, but I was not about to deal with the time and the wait and figuring out the metro. I'm like, I just want something to be easy. So I took an Uber to the Airbnb that we were staying at, and my boyfriend, the handsome little devil that he is waiting for me with a bottle of champagne in his hand. Well, not champagne, as his father was quick to point out, but a bottle of bubbly in his hand. And I am just so beyond relieved to be in Paris, so excited to be in Paris. So you guys know that I am a big tennis fan. We're staying basically right by Roland Garros, which is the tennis stadium where the French Open is played. So it's all just really exciting for me to be in Paris. We're staying in Boulogne, which is kind of like, not, I wouldn't really call it a suburb, but a wealthy district of Paris. And so I see my boyfriend there, and I'm in Paris with my boyfriend. And we're riding up the elevator to the top floor of this apartment building where our Airbnb is. And, you know, this was like 2:30 in the afternoon. So I kind of assumed that. Now, the other part of this story that I haven't mentioned is I have not met my boyfriend's parents yet. So, or any of my boyfriend's family. So this was going to be when I was meeting my boyfriend's father and brother. But being that it was 2:30 in the afternoon, my initial assumption was that the boyfriend and brother, help me, boyfriend and brother, father and brother would be out, you know, doing something in Paris. But as we're riding up the elevator, my boyfriend looks at me and says, "Are you ready to meet my family?" And of course, I'm very excited to do so. And I've had a long flight and stressful overnight experience. But I, you know, in a lot of ways, that really worked out. I didn't have time to overthink it. And I walk in, I meet my boyfriend's father. My boyfriend's brother comes out to greet me. His girlfriend comes out to greet me. And it's all great. And I say, please excuse me. I've been in these clothes for 24 hours. I really need to shower, and then we can let the good times roll. So I, you know, get my shower, then come out, and my boyfriend pops the champagne, pops the bubbly. And what's waiting for me in the fridge? But you guessed it, some brie. So my boyfriend's dad was very good every day about going and getting a baguette from the boulangerie. And there was brie there. So I had brie, I had bubbly, and everything was just ready to go and wonderful. And I got on very well with my boyfriend's father, got on very well with his brother. And so everything is wonderful on that front. And I am just so relieved and so happy at this point. And, you know, this is my first time in Europe. So after we had some champagne, my boyfriend and I went to a cafe. We kind of walked around the neighborhood. We went to a cafe and sat and got an espresso. We had been to a patisserie. We got a coffee-flavored eclair. And I'm just soaking it all in. I loved the cafe culture of Paris. I became obsessed with espresso. You know, I'm someone who drinks coffee hot and black. But having the little espresso cups, it was just so cozy and so wonderful and felt kind of sophisticated. And just walking around and looking at this French architecture, it was incredible. It was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was very posh. It was just very polished. and just so much fun to be walking around. And my boyfriend's being so sweet, and you know, we're working our way through, like, the neither one of us speak French, but we, you know, how to ask for the check, l'addition, s'il vous plaît. And we, you know, walk in, and we've got our bonjour and everything, and it's just so magical. So then that night, my boyfriend's father did a very nice thing for us and booked us an experience at a Michelin star restaurant, which was, of course, my first Michelin star restaurant. And I have to say, it was the most pretentious meal that I have ever taken part in. Totally delicious, knockout food. It was incredible. And we did a 6-course meal. And forgive me, I don't remember the exact order of the courses, but there was an asparagus course that had a stuffed morel mushroom that was stuffed with duck foie gras. And that was the dish that really sang for me. And I when I think about that meal, that's what I think of. Like, I love mushrooms and I love duck, and it was all just very elegant and wonderful. There was a tuna steak that was, you know, perfectly prepared. There were veal medallions. One of the main courses was basically macaroni stuffed with duck foie gras, again, served with a cheese sauce. It was all very elegant. And, you know, they come out and they put the plates in front of you and they explain exactly what it is. And we're having great wine and just great conversation. And, you know, when my boyfriend met my parents, I became mute. I was so anxious. So I think my boyfriend was nervous that I was going to clam up and not talk. But, you know, I'm talking to the brother and the girlfriend and the father and Michael. And it's all just this incredible meal. We've got wine. We've got great food. And it's just so incredibly presented. And that's the other thing that's really part of the Michelin star experience, is just the presentation of the food. You know, if you watch any sort of cooking competition show, everything is just so perfectly presented. And, you know, it's that's one of the moments that first night being in Paris, like, I'm blown away. Okay. Food is incredible. The dessert was really great. There was like a chocolate mousse with like this baked chocolate leaf thing. And then there was this really interesting absinthe dessert that was basically like absinthe crushed ice that was just very refreshing and very unique. And then we wanted to go for drinks after dinner. So we walked to this place, the Peninsula Hotel, which is this really fancy hotel. And we look it up and it's like 1750 euro a night or something around there to stay at the Peninsula Hotel. And we get a bottle of wine there. And then we learned that that is where the treaty to end the Vietnam War was signed. So it's this really historical venue too. You can see when you walk outside, the Arc de Triomphe is right there. So when we got our Uber home, we drive around the Arc de Triomphe, and it's just like a perfect first night in France. Met the boyfriend's family. This is just such a marvelous experience. And like Paris is magic. Paris is absolutely magical and so romantic just to walk around the city. So then the next day we take the metro to visit the Sacré Cœur, which is this really just impressive church on the top of this big hill. I forget the name of the neighborhood or the district that it's in, but it was very packed, very, very touristy. But amazing views of the city and just these beautiful winding streets, and it's just so Parisian. And I, you know, I am not someone that's ever really been like obsessed or that drawn to France or Paris, but as I'm walking around there, I'm just totally captivated by the entire thing. And so we walk, we go to this Italian place for lunch. That food is incredible. And then we're walking all around the city. We end up walking to the Louvre. We, you know, see the pyramids in front of the Louvre. We see the Tuileries Gardens. It's beautiful weather. We walk down the Champs-Élysées, and we're there on a Sunday, and everything is closed. So, you know, there's no temptation to spend way too much money on the Champs-Élysées. But it's just, I mean, there's no words to describe that moment of just being in Paris with someone that you love and being so captivated and enraptured. And so then the two of us break off and we go to see the Eiffel Tower and just these incredible views of the Eiffel Tower. And then we go back to the Airbnb, we get changed, we get refreshed for dinner, which my boyfriend had booked us a dinner cruise on the Seine that his father joined us for, and the food on that was also really great food. You know, we had champagne as we're cruising down the Seine, and it's really just such a magical, such a remarkable evening. We see the Eiffel Tower at night, we see Notre Dame from the Seine, and it's just one of those moments where I can't believe that it's happening to me. And that was really, that feeling is the entire trip, that magic, that captivation, just absolutely glorious, absolutely beautiful. I mean, there are no words that do that experience justice. And so then our final full day in Paris, we go to the Palace of Versailles, which of course was built by Louis XIV. And you know, I just am like, this is something that I've read about in history books and can't believe that I'm there. We didn't plan on going into the palace, but the palace itself was closed on Mondays, but the gardens are open. So we're walking around the gardens and all of us were like, wow, this is very green. We expected it to be really colorful, but for whatever reason, something hit my boyfriend and something was not agreeing with him, and he was a trooper for Versailles, and really put on a good face. But then when we left the gardens of Versailles and went back to the Airbnb, he laid down and, you know, kind of told me to go explore by myself. So I went to the Latin Quarter, which is where Notre Dame is, which is where Shakespeare and company is. And I'm just really kind of seeing things that are interesting. I just kind of ended up in this really cute park in the middle of the city, and then saw a street with really interesting architecture, and just the architecture itself, is everything is just so pretty and picturesque and just so wonderful to walk around. So, you know, I was really sad to be exploring alone, quite honestly. You know, it being our last hurrah in Paris, but you know, it's also just like I wanted to maximize my time in Paris. So I got a glass of wine at the cafe. We went and had dinner with his father. Just a little cafe, which had some good food. And then we went and got some souvenirs ourselves and just, I mean, enjoyed our last night in Paris. And then that was where the family part of the trip ended. And the next morning we caught our train to Munich. But, you know, you guys are such great listeners, but you are crazy if you think I'm going to give all of Europe to you in just one episode. So thank you so much for listening this week. Follow me on Twitter at Babbling Dan. Follow me on Instagram at Daniel Burkett. I'm really excited to regale you with more tales of Europe next week. But really just beyond magical. And this host is a happy host. That is, all I can say. And where Paris, I will say, romantic, magical, really loved. I mean, I loved where we stayed because it felt more residential and more everyday Parisian than the touristy areas. And I absolutely loved Paris, but Paris was not my favorite city that we visited. I loved every city we visited. I don't want that to sound the wrong way. But that's just a teaser for, it's going to get better. It's going to get more majestic, and I just am so happy to have had this experience and have a new love of Paris, new love of Munich, new love of Prague. And you'll hear about Munich and Prague in the coming weeks. Have a great week. Thanks, as always, for listening to Dan's Dabble and Babble.